Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're studying the book of Revelation. In this session, we'll be looking at chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 17, a trilogy of war. Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation is a very fast-paced battle drama. The key to understanding is viewing it like the development of a movie plot. There's movement of the time setting, the past, present, and future. The chapter is a drama. It's a drama in three acts. Well, let's look at that. Act 1, War on Earth. It's verses 1 through 6. See, it goes back in time to Jesus Christ's birth. The scene opens with two signs. First, a woman, verses 1 and 2. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. She's glorious in her appearance. Who is she? Well, verse 5, the first part of it says she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Well, that identifies Jesus. So the woman is Israel. And second, there's a dragon. Verses 3 and 4. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Well, who is the dragon? Well, he's clearly identified in verse 9. It says the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, back to shortly after creation. It says his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. Satan didn't start out that way. And in Job chapter 38 and verse 7, it says when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That scene, it moves forward again to the birth of Christ. See, all of the angels rejoiced at creation. So we move forward again to the birth of Christ, and Satan lost this war on earth. Look at verse 4 and 5. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. Satan was ready to destroy Christ. How was he going to do that? Well, remember, we've gone back to the birth. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, talking about the wise men, after they had come and after they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Christ's birth is recorded. He's identified as the ultimate ruler, and his ascension is mentioned. Did you notice his entire life, death, and resurrection are missing? You see, our text is about war between Satan and Christ. It also pictures the birth and rapture of the church. Satan failed to destroy Christ at birth, and he failed to destroy him by death. You go forward to future time of tribulation. Unable to destroy Christ, Satan persecutes Israel. Verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The covenant is broken. The curtain closes. And then it reopens. And Act 2 is a war in heaven. Verses 7 through 12. So we're now at the midpoint of the week of tribulation. Those first 3.5 years with the peace accord, that's now broken. And this scene that we're looking at next in this passage, it depicts an angelic battle. We've gone from earth, going back to the birth of Christ, coming forward to the tribulation, and now we've gone up toward heaven. And in verse 7, we see this angelic battle. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time, that he has a short time. Michael and his angels versus Satan and his angels. Jude, verse 9, records a personal confrontation between Michael and Satan. But here, it's the war of their armies. Michael's armies and Satan's armies. In Jude verse 9, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So, we don't know, something after Moses died and his body was taken away, apparently Michael was involved in that. It was carrying him and burying Moses, but Satan wanted the body, or we don't know all the details, but there it is in Jude 9. So, what's the outcome of that angelic battle? Well, it says that Satan has his angels lost completely. It was just a total defeat, and they were cast out of heaven to the earth. In verse 8, verse 9 lists several names which provide a description of his character. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 12 announces a new situation on earth. It says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Satan is now barred from heaven, so he must operate from earth. All his focus is directed to his confinement and his duration. Meanwhile, back in heaven, Satan's defeat brings an explosion of praise, another major step toward Christ's total takeover. In verse 10, the first part of it, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying in heaven now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. The second part of verse 10 and verse 11 refer to Satan's tactics and how he's defeated. It says, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. He is the accuser of the brethren, right up to being cast out of heaven in the middle of the tribulation. He's overcome first by the blood of the Lamb, the atonement. Second, by the testimony of the believer. And third, by the willingness to die if necessary. No accuser can stand against those, no accusation, excuse me, can stand against those forgiven by Christ's death. Romans chapter 8, verse 33, down to verse 39. Great passage of Scripture. Just such an encouraging passage of Scripture. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whew. Persecutions, tortures, martyrdoms of saints over the centuries are explained here. By death, listen, by death is the ultimate victory over Satan. Well, the curtain closes again, and then it reopens. In Act 3, we're back on earth. It's war on earth. It's war on earth, the sequel. Verses 13 to 17. The act is now in the last half of the tribulation, what we refer to as the Great Tribulation. Verse 6 is now to be fulfilled. Verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Cast out of heaven, Satan's attack then centers on Israel, whose only hope is a very rapid escape. Many believe that will be to Petra, to the city in the mountains. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 16, it says, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And that's a logical place to go. How does she escape? It says, on eagle's wings. Power. Notice that the events of verses 15 and 16 should be taken literal. Satan attacks those fleeing with a great flood. And God supernaturally protects his people by consuming the flood himself. And this event, that event, triggers the Great Tribulation, which extends through chapters 13 to 19. He can't get Israel, so he goes after the Son. He goes after all of the believers, all of those who are putting their trust in Jesus Christ and who are worshiping and serving Him. And that event kicks off the Great Tribulation, which extends all the way. Look at verse 17 again. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, he goes after Israel first, the woman, but she gets away with God's help to the mountains. His flood wasn't able to do it. God supernaturally stopped it. So Satan changed his focus from the woman to the child, to Christ and his followers, to go after them. You have a great day.